I always think it looks very forced when the media managers put a politician with ordinary people. Tony Blair in a school or in a hospital. He has the chit-chat, but it somehow looks contrived. And I think perhaps the classic example was when George Bush, forced by public opinion, to go and meet some of the victims of the Katrina hurricane, just didn't know what to say or how to handle it at all. There seems to be all the difference in the world between the powerful people and the ordinary people. Well, our readings today suggest that precisely the opposite is true about God. Our Isaiah reading paints us this picture of a God, the creator of everything, and yet in the gospel there is Jesus dealing with a very simple domestic crisis.
This show was made with a trial version of propaganda software. You can remove this message by buying the full version.
That characteristic of God this morning, particularly as we look together at the story of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. It's an interesting story because it's put in the context of one or two other things that are going on. And you'll remember that shortly after this healing, Jesus is off into the desert. He needs space. He needs an opportunity to draw strength. And it seems that for Jesus that it means going out into the countryside by himself. And no doubt he looked up at the sky, perhaps the stars, and found comfort. Exactly as Isaiah was encouraging the people of his time to do. There they were, a people who had been taken away from their home in Jerusalem and effectively in captivity in Babylon, and they were saying to themselves, where is God? How could God have allowed this to happen? What kind of God is this that we're supposed to worship? And Isaiah says to them, just go outside and look up. Look at the vault of the heavens. And of course they had this three-tier universe, nothing round about the earth at that time as far as they saw it. And so right at the top, here was God overseeing everything. Friday was the 40th anniversary of the first landing on the moon of a piece of controllable equipment. The beginning, in a way, of that period of time when we thought we could perhaps explore the moon and space effectively. And we're still doing it, of course. But there is this sense that somehow that's beyond human resources. It's too big. But it's not too big for God. That whole enormous universe with galaxies that are thousands and thousands of light years away, that is all within God's power and God's love. And Isaiah said to the people, of course, as well, look at the stars. Stars which we perhaps know more about than they did. For them, particularly living in the Babylonian context as they were forced to do at that time, where the Babylonians worshipped certain stars, certainly they worshipped the sun and the moon and the heavenly bodies, these were items of worship. And when Isaiah is saying to the people of Israel, look at the stars, it's God who numbered them, God who named each of those stars, they're all inferior, if the Babylonians think they're gods, to our God. Who is the one who's above and beyond all that? And so this sense of a God who's somehow around everything, the version that I was preparing the sermon from, talked about God circling the earth. And as I say, not an image to do with the globe, because that's not what they believed. But a word used unusually, apparently. A word which must have wanted to convey something of being enclosed, of being held within the circling arms of God. And I think one of the things that often makes us feel uneasy and anxious is when our lives somehow are drifting apart. We don't see how everything fits together. There doesn't seem to be a reason for this, that, or the other thing. But to know that God encircles all that, that God sees the bigger picture, that somehow, though we can't see it, God knows how all this fits together and will one day become whole again. This enables us to trust God and to find in the God who's over and above and beyond everything, a God who's also in our own experience and able to give us comfort. And that's, of course, what Peter's mother-in-law experienced. There she is. Jesus has come. I don't know what pressures were on her. Possibly just the arrival of Jesus was enough in itself to cause a bit of a fever, a bit of a flap. Maybe she was the over-anxious type. Certainly, we've just heard in the Gospel, and presumably so had she, that her son-in-law Peter is about to up sticks and go off and leave the family industry and go off with this wandering preacher. We don't know whether there was another breadwinner in the household. Possibly not. Possibly this was the...
This show was made with a trial version of propaganda software. You can remove this message by buying the full version.
And here's Peter's mother-in-law in a fever. Who knows what it was. And Jesus goes and takes her by the hand. And she's reassured and she's comforted. And I think that's a wonderful image for us too. Taking by the hand. I read recently in the paper that at the Sussex Eye Hospital they have a group of volunteers to accompany those who are having cataract operations. Because you can't move your head even the slightest amount while this is happening, you have somebody, a volunteer, who sits beside you, if you choose, of course you can refuse this help, and they hold your hand. And if there's something you need to communicate, you squeeze it so that they know to get the medical staff to come and check what's happening. And that saves you moving even even to open your mouth would apparently upset the movement of the eye at that moment. And the hand is being held. And I checked out with somebody who recently had such an operation, whether this was in fact what happened. She said, yes. She said, that's exactly right. And she said, it's enormously reassuring. And she said, the person who held mine said, you have to have strong hands for this job, you know, because people hold your hand very tight. And there's Jesus going and taking Peter's mother-in-law's hand and holding it. And conveying through that touch this reassurance, the sense that he's there for her. And all, though it seems very confused and difficult at the moment, all will be well. And I find this enormously reassuring in my life, and I expect we all have domestic crises, things that go on in our lives that feel putting pressure on us, make us feel unnerved and anxious and as though things are going astray. And to have a hand that we can hold, a hand which, it doesn't matter how hard you hold it, it's still there for us. God's hand there to reassure and comfort and encourage. And then the third aspect of this story is that this whole business of Jesus bringing healing to people, to the mother-in-law, and then, of course, to lots of other people. Remember that bit in the same reading where people are crowding round him. And Jesus says to the disciples, we've got to move on. We've got to move on to the next town. And there's a sense of urgency. I've got this message to bring, he says. And I want to go on to the other place to tell it to them also. Which implies that what he's been doing here in Peter's village is what he wants to do elsewhere as well. It's action which expresses God's love. That's the message that Jesus has brought. A message that says, through Jesus, God loves you. The kingdom of God is here. God's love is active. One of the things I've noticed as I chat, I don't detect too many people in the congregation who watch soaps. Now, I might be wrong about that. But one of the familiar storylines in a soap or in many films is the one where A loves B but can't quite bring herself to tell him. And this is happening a lot in the soap. There's all sorts of variations. And those who are EastEnders, are closet EastEnders fans, like I am, will know I'm not referring to Cat and Alfie or Billy and Joe, you know, where you in the end, that this goes on so long, where you know this woman loves this man and she's not telling, you want to shout at the television, for goodness sake, tell him you love him. Well, we don't have to say that to God. Because God is always wanting to tell us how much he loves us. He always wanted to convey in whatever way God can this enormous care for each one of us. And it's a love which is really focused. This picture of all these people, the deaf, the blind, the lame, all rushing up to him because they've heard the news. And you sense that each person who comes to Jesus to receive healing gets his...
This show was made with a trial version of Propaganda Software. You can remove this message by buying the full version.
And those other millions and millions of people who each have needs, who each go through what seems to them probably things that are trivial and irrelevant to everybody else, but to them they're really important and really matter and can be really painful. And each of us has that undivided attention of this God who is above all and beyond all and yet focused on each one of us, not only when we need him, but all the time. And so today we celebrate that God. That God whose love is higher and broader and wider and deeper than we can possibly conceive. That his love is focused on you and on me. So that when life is tough, and when we want to just hold out a hand and know that someone's there, God is. And he'll take it, and he'll hold it, and we can squeeze as hard as we like. And God will never let us go.